Take your Bibles, if you would, turn with me beginning to Exodus chapter number 3. We'll be turning to another passage in a few minutes, but if you have your Bibles, Exodus chapter 3, while you're turning there, we're going to be speaking this morning on the subject of the memorials of God. But before I begin that, I do want to say again that this weekend, as I've already said, is to honor those who have given their life in order that we might enjoy the freedoms that we do enjoy. I heard a man on the radio this morning, and I thought it was a great idea. So many times this thing, Memorial Weekend, goes by, and we don't think much about anything but barbecues and maybe parties and whatever we might do. And yet we really probably miss the mark of really what it's all about. This man on the radio, he challenged. He said that he was in service, and he's got 67 people. He said more than that because he's quit counting, but he's got names of people that he actually served with, that many of them lost their lives. And he said, there's not a memorial day goes by that I don't remember them. And so he challenged the people on the radio this morning. He said, what I would encourage you to do is to find out if there's veterans in your town that have given their life through service, maybe whether it was on the battlefield or in war or whatever. He said, find out about them, read about them. And just think about their family and honor them on this memorial day. And I just thought in my mind, that's sad, but I can't tell you the ones that have. But there's two names that come to my mind that I remember quite often. And this is just their last name. But there was a young man by the name of Chihuahua. That was his last name. And he lost his life. And they had his service up in Camilla. But he was from Thomas County. And I truly want to remember him this morning. Don't know much about him. I'm going to go back and read a little bit and try to find out more. But I want to honor him. And then there was a last name, McClellan. Wasn't McClellan, Brother Ron, that you worked with his dad in McClellan? And he also died in service. And I remember they had his funeral at the gym down here. And we were over here working that day. And the procession came by our church. And I remember we all lined up. And people had flags. And it wasn't just down this Charlie Ward Jr. Boulevard when they come out. But they said down the road there was fire trucks with the buckets hanging over the street with large flags hanging down. And what an honor. But lest we forget our veterans that gave their life, let's challenge ourselves to do a little research on Memorial Day and remember some of these people. And I'm sure there's many others. Probably everybody in this building's got somebody you was close to that lost their life. And I want you to remember them on this day. If you have your Bibles, we look in the book of Exodus. We'll read there in just a moment. But I want to speak today on God's memorials. You know, the greatest memorial in all the world is even though there's many memorials that we have, and I'll speak of those in a moment, but the wonderful memorial that we need to think about the most is God's memorial. What is it that matters to God the most? There's many things that God wants us to remember, but most of all, God wants us to remember His Word. I'm grateful today for the Word of God. I know where we would be without the Word of God. We'd be lost. We'd be in our sin, and we'd be on our way to hell. But many believers today, believers that believe in Christ, are spiritually weak because they've not stored the Word of God in their hearts and in their mind. This is the greatest book that's ever been written. It's the only one that was inspired by God. And yet, God wants us to commit it to our memory in order that we might know it in times of need. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 11, Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against Thee. The Word of God can be a source of comfort, warmth, and direction in times of stress and sorrow and temptation. I preached a funeral from Friday morning, and I would never dare stand in a pulpit and give a funeral service without preaching the Word of God. It's important to understand today that there's only one thing that's going to help us today. You didn't come to hear from me. You came to hear from God. And so it's not what I'm thinking this morning. It's what God's saying according to the Word of God. That's why it's so important that we study. The Bible said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He goes on to say in Psalm 119, verse 129 and 130, Thy testimonies, and by the way, these are His testimonies. He said, Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of Thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Friend, I want you to know today that as I come to present the Word of God, one of the greatest compliments I have sometime is they say, when you preach, you know, it's simple and I can understand it. Somebody said, well, if it's simple, then you're not very deep. Friend, I believe today the Word of God is simple when you have the Holy Spirit of God leading and guiding you and showing you the truth. And I believe in the simplicity of the ways God will speak to your heart. The followers of many pagan religions are required to saturate their minds with what they believe is sacred writings. No one can teach Mohammedan in the Mohammedan mosque unless they memorize the Quran. Now, that's pretty strict rules and guidance. But if they feel that way about what they believe, how much more should you and I feel about what we do as far as the Word of God? It's a shame today. We think memorizing scriptures for little children. Friend, I want you to know the Bible is for all people at all times, and God wants us to know it. A missionary on the foreign field said that for 21 hours she heard a group of Buddhist priests quoting devotional literature from memory, seldom, if ever, making a mistake. 21 hours of quoting devotional literature. Listen, that puts us to shame. It reminds me that we're forgetting the memorial that God has given to us in His Word, that we remember Him. Somebody said, "Preacher, I have a hard time memorizing. I forget easy." Well, join the club. The older you get, the worse it'll get. But the truth is, the more we study and saturate our minds with the Word of God, the more we will retain it. Friend, we don't learn nothing. Well, some people I've heard can read something and they can quote it back to you from memory. It's photographic memory, what they call it. I didn't get one. Most people I know didn't get one. And so in order for us to get it, we've got to saturate our mind with it in order that we might memorize the Word of God. It's only when we hide God's Word in our hearts that God can bring to our memory the precious truths about God's Word. There's a couple of things this morning I want to zero in on and talk about a little bit that we had better not forget to establish in our hearts and our lives the memorials that God has set for us. In our passage of Scripture this morning in chapter 3, for sake of time, I'm not going to read the entire chapter as I had in my text, verses 1 through 15. I would encourage you to do that. But in chapter 3, we find Moses on the backside of the desert. We find him on the backside of the desert, and God appears to him in a burning bush, and then he goes on to talk about the various things that have happened and what will happen, and we'll refer to some of them, but I want you to skip with me down to verse number 13. And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, that they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?" And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you." And God said moreover unto Moses, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations." Our Father, we thank you, Lord, today for the opportunity and the privilege we have to come together this morning. Again, we thank you for those who sacrificed their life. But most of all, we thank you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ that sacrificed your life on the cross for our sin in order that we might experience salvation. Father, we ask now that you would guide and direct, have your will and way. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be mindful, and Lord, that we would love you and serve you and be faithful to you. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. You know, it's nothing to have memorials. Sometimes somebody asks you if you had a memorial, you might not think so much about it. But we do things around here sometimes that memorialize people, perhaps loved ones that we know. Many times some people put in flowers in the church in memory of an individual that they've lost, that's no longer with us, to remember them. And it's encouraging. It's a wonderful thing to do. You'll notice on the end of our pews, we were trying to get our pews covered, and we had people pay the expense of doing the pew. We put a little plaque on the end of the pew, and it memorializes somebody that was very special to them. The piano and the organ has been memorialized in giving to person. And by the way, I think it's important that we remember the people and remember them in a good way. And it's a wonderful thing when we do it for the glory of God that it helps the church out, but it's to remind us of Him. But we should never forget the major part that they have played in our lives. But God is pleased, I believe, when we memorialize a family member or loved one and for the house of God. But in our text, the Bible is speaking about something about the God we must never forget. I want you to look with me closely, if you would. This was said. Now, remember, God had led Moses to the backside of the desert for 40 years. Why was Moses there? God wanted to teach Moses who he was. If you'll remember the story, we could go back and look. But remember, Moses took it in his own hands that he could defeat Israel. He went out with his own hands. And if you'll remember, he was raised in Pharaoh's home. And he was raised there and he came of age and he realized who he was. And he saw an Egyptian and he went out and he killed him. He thought he was going to take care of things. He tried to bury him, but obviously didn't do too good of a job. And must have left a toe or something sticking up, but somebody found it. And the Bible said in Exodus 2:14 that people knew about it, and they asked Moses this question: "Who made thee prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian?" So when that happened, Moses had to get out of town. He fled immediately, and he fled to the wilderness. And you see, God had to get through to him that it was not him, but it was God that was able to do the work in his life. Now, God could use him, but the Moses who had taken matters into his own hands, the one that had killed the Egyptian soldier, he went out in the wilderness, but when he came out of the wilderness, he was a different Moses 40 years later than he was when he went in. You know, sometimes we get discouraged with ourselves. It seems that years go by, and we find trying things on our own just don't work. We try to solve our own problems, and we wonder, you know, what we need to do to fix this. Friend, I'm going to tell you, I love a song, and it says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wondrous face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. What is it that made a difference? Here's Moses, killing the Egyptian, taking it into his own hand. Rather than trusting God, he flees to the desert. God leaves him there for 40 years. He comes out different than he was before. What is it that did that? Well, what he did with the Egyptian, he did in his own strength. But the end of the 40 years, it was what God did through Moses that allowed him to accomplish what he did. God said, "Moses, when you go back to Egypt and they ask who sent you," he said, "you'd let them know that I am sent you," referring to himself. "Moses, you've never been sufficient, and neither have you or I." "Moses, you not only never have been sufficient, you're not sufficient, and you'll never be sufficient." But God said, "My grace is sufficient for every need in our life." Moses, all he had ever done was make a mess of things. You know, today that's kind of like we are. I tell you, I've made some of the biggest messes in life that I couldn't clean up. But thank God that He had my back and He was there for me. And He watched out for me and helped me along the way. You remember two men in the Bible, there's a man, Elijah and Elisha. We remember Elijah was a man of God, and he had the power of God upon his life with his mantle. And he kept walking one day, and this fellow named Elijah kept following him, and he kept looking back. And one day Elijah finally turned to Elisha, and he said, "What do you want?" He said, "Do you want what I have?" And Elijah said, "No, I don't want what you have." He said, "I want a double portion of what you have." And Elijah said, "You just keep following me, and if you're with me, when the Lord takes me up, you will get that double portion." And truly, we find when the whirlwind came, we find Elijah was there. Elijah was gone, and Elisha was there. He picked up the mantle. And I tell you today, you know what Elijah said? Elisha said, he didn't say, "Where's Elijah?" He said, "Where's the God of Elijah?" And I'm grateful today that even as we go through life, the greatest need in our churches today is to know the God of Elijah, to have the portion of God upon our life and be filled with the Spirit of God to work and to witness and to win others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The God that many serve today is a God who doesn't seem to care. Many serve a God today that does not have the power to help. Some serve gods today that have grown old and feeble, but my God is able to supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. He said in Malachi 3 and verse number 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not. God said, Moses, when they ask you who sent you, you tell them I am sent you. And I want you to know today when I stand here and preach, I'm standing here preaching on the authority of I am. He's the one that sent me and gave me the word of God today. God has left behind a memorial in his name. Don't you forget it. You say, oh, I know his name. His name's Elohim. His name is Jesus. And his name is God. But yet, let's remember his name that he said we would memorialize is I am. In other words, he is everything to every need that we have in our life. He's placed his name, I am, as a memorial, not only to us, but to all generations. You know, isn't it wonderful? The word of God is never out of date. The word of God is never old. It's always fresh and new. And there's a memorial today in the fact that his name is I am. I'm glad today that I can say, I am sent me. And I tell you today, he's there for all of us. The second I am that I want you to see, if you take your Bibles and turn over to Joshua chapter number four. Joshua chapter number four, we see a memorial of his works. Joshua chapter number 4, verses 1 through 7. Let me just read it quickly. The Bible said, and it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in a lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. What we find here is the passing of Jordan represents the deliverance from death unto life. If you've ever been saved, if you put your faith and trust in God, you've passed from death unto life. What a wonderful thing it is to know today that we're going to heaven. But God told them that there'd come a time that your children is going to want to know about what God has done for them and what he's going to do for them. And I'm going to tell you today, the biggest need I believe and I see in our churches and in our life today is teaching and helping these younger people to understand how great a God we serve and the power that he has given to him. I tell you today, I'm so sad, and I was grateful yesterday to be able to attend the graduation and saw many of our young people be able to walk across the platform yesterday and receive their diploma. And I'm grateful for that, but I have fear in my heart that I want to be sure that as they go forth into the world that they put the Lord Jesus Christ, I want them to have heard testimonies of what God has done in their parents' life and what God will do in their life if they'll follow him and be obedient to him. Now in Joshua chapter 4 verse 3, God told Joshua what he wanted him to do. He said, I want you to pick up 12 stones. I want you to take them over to the other side. I want you to make a monument there to God, and I want you to lodge there that night. And God told him in the years to come, the children would see the monument. And they'd want to come along, you know, like somebody would say, what is that? And boy, that'd be the great opportunity for them to witness. You know, I think so many times one of the greatest things we could do as witnessing is to begin saying something or doing something that would make people ask questions to us about this God that we serve. He said, make a memorial, and then when they ask you, I want you to tell them what I've done for you. He said, I want you to tell them how I brought you out of bondage into the land of freedom. I'm telling you tonight, my children grew up knowing that I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, saved by the grace of God, and on my way to heaven. And I'm grateful that they too had trusted the Lord and put their faith and trust in him. But friend, we need to ring it out from the mountaintop. God is not dead. God is not sick. God is not on vacation. God is still the same God today that he's ever been. And we need to remember him, and we need to remember what he's done. And I tell you, so many times hardships come in our life and we say, I don't understand why this happens to me, but we fail to go back and remember all the things that God's done in the past to get us to where we are. And I think today we need to remember Him. He said, I want you to tell them how we was an oppressed people. I want you to tell them how we were hopeless and we could not save ourselves. Friend, today, no matter how hard you try, there's not a single person in this building today that can save themselves. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ. God told them to tell the children of Israel, what a great God we serve. I like the little song we sing around here sometime, what a mighty God we serve. I tell you today, I want you to know I serve a mighty God. He is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that I could ask or think. And I'm grateful today for the greatness of God in our life to minister to and to meet our need. Let me just tell you how great God is. I know right now we're having a little dry spell. But don't you fret. God knows just how much water we need. And God knows just how even when the ocean and the water evaporates, He supplies the more to fill it up. Listen, I don't believe there's ever been a shortage in the ocean of water. And even though we may go through droughts down here, God will send the rain in the time that He wants us to have it. And friend, He's in total control of it. It's not the weatherman. It's not your iPhone, although it may help you out a little bit. But it's in God's hands. Yesterday morning we got up to go to graduation and Susan was watching the iPhone and she said it's 50%, it's 60%, it's 70%. But she turned to me and said, but it's not going to be raining when graduation comes. And sure enough, it didn't. You say, well, that was just a coincidence. You call it coincidence if you like. I just like to believe that I got a God in heaven that knows how to turn it on and turn it off when He so pleases. And we ought to rejoice in what God's doing. Let me tell you, did you know that we got a God this situated the earth exactly the right distance from the sun that we could function as we do? If we were any closer to the sun, we'd burn up. If we were any further away, we'd freeze to death. Yet God, and you know what? In a 24-hour period, it goes on the same axis around the world every day. It rotates around. Oh, you know who it? The electric station don't run that. God does. In fact, the electric station ain't good enough to do that. They don't know how, but every day it goes by. I'm telling you, God has wonderfully, greatly, wonderfully, and marvelously created everything you can think of. Many of you I know have already seen, and you need to pray for it. I should have mentioned it this morning, but Jocelyn just had a little baby this week. His name's Carson, and we got a Carson here, but we named him Carson, and it's a wonderful thing. That's a miracle of God. Do you know that? Every time a child is formed and born into this world, listen, only God can do such a thing. And I'm grateful today that God must be very displeased with people that talk about everything there is to talk about except God. I tell you today, I don't mean, listen, you can take it for what it's worth, but what a great spiritual tragedy it is today that people talk about actresses and actors who are merely people. And you know what they do? They pretend to be something they're not. And they talk about them, and man, I tell you what, they know all of them, and they know where they appear and what they do. And listen, that's all right. If you want to do that, that's okay. But let's don't forget God. God is of greater importance than any actor or actress that's ever lived. God is for real. And God will meet the need in our life, but yet we have no trouble talking about those things. A man can hit a baseball, or he can shoot a basketball, or he can score a touchdown. And again, it's a wonderful thing if God blesses them with talent. And I think you ought to pray for me. Listen, I love sports too, and you hear me talking a little football every now and then. But God help me that I don't forget to remember God and remember the works of what He's done. Listen today, I think so often, and I'm telling you the truth, I don't know why in the world God has left me upon this earth as long as He did. Years ago, when I rebelled against Him and turned my back on Him, I don't understand why He didn't take me. But God had a reason and a purpose that I don't know. But I tell you today, I say to God be the glory. I tell you today, I thank God that He chose me. I'm glad today that God had mercy on me. And so God told the children of Israel, He said, I want you to get 12 stones and I want you to mount them up and make a monument. And He said, I want you to leave it there. And when your children come by, He said, they're going to ask and you're going to tell them what I've done. God told the people of Israel to do that, and they did it. I want you to notice two things that happened after they made the monument. Go to verse number 6. Notice the curiosity of a child. Most of you know that I've got a grandson that can ask 1,000 questions or 1,001. I love it. I love to answer his questions. He's very inquisitive. He has a lot of curiosity. This morning, Brother Leek said something to him about scheduling. He said, "What is scheduling?" And so Brother Leek had to explain another way. I can't remember what you said, but you told him what it was. But notice, children are going to ask. Children are going to notice. Yesterday at graduation, there was a young lady that used to ride our bus here. Miss Debbie, I think you picked her up. Her name was Joy. You remember Joy? And she came over to me, and she hugged my neck. She hugged Susan's neck. And she said, "I saw y'all over here, and I just had to come speak to you." And I tell you what, she's a sweet girl. She's living in Atlanta now, working and whatever. And I remember, what a blessing. But I'm going to tell you, children are watching what we do. This isn't Father's Day and it isn't Mother's Day, but just to give you a tip, they're watching Mama and they're watching Daddy. And friend, you're molding them whether you know it or not. And your children are going to turn out just like you lead them to be. And God said, He said, build a memorial. Put something there. Give them something to look at, something to see. Because look at verse 6. That this may be assigned to you. Now, notice he doesn't say if your children ask their fathers, but he said when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these little stones? Something children would do is ask questions. God made children that way. And that's why God placed the daddy as the head of the house. That's why God placed the wife's submission to her husband. Because see, God has a pattern. God has a plan. Just as I'm the pastor of this church, but I'm telling you, God is the head of this church. God is over me. And God's over your home. But the father is the head of the home, and it's his responsibility to build a memorial. How sad to hear of children that later on in life have forsaken the God of their youth. And I'm not here to point fingers or judge, and I don't believe it's in every situation, but could it be that our children forsake God sometime because we failed? Again, I'm not saying that sometimes you can do all there is to do, and I know there's times your children do things that perhaps you don't agree with. But friend, I'm telling you today, it's our responsibility. Are we encouraging our children to memorize Scripture? Are we encouraging our family to pray? Are we encouraging one another in the things of God? But you see, God said, I want you to tell them how they've been slaves down in Egypt. They were taskmasters is what they call. They were brick makers. Tell them how hopeless it felt to be a slave down in Egypt. They wanted to be free, but they couldn't be. And they prayed to God. And bless God, He heard them. And He answered them. And He delivered them. How God had led them across the dry bed of the Red Sea. I tell you today, I just have to tell this every time I talk about it because I think it's so crazy. The liberal theologians today said, well, and by the way, theologians try to figure out how it was done. They can't accept the fact that God did it. And so they come and say, well, you know, the Red Sea, when they crossed over, it was just ankle deep where they crossed that. And God allowed them to go over. Well, I told you before, then a greater miracle took place. Because when Pharaoh's army come across, he drowned the whole army in ankle deep water. Now you go figure. I don't know, but I can tell you this. Tell them about the God we serve and what He's able to do. How God led them through the wilderness. Friend, I don't have time this morning. We'd be memorializing all morning. But I'm telling you, when they were in the wilderness, God sent manna for them to eat. And He gave them the water to drink. And He sent the raven to feed Elijah. God was there to meet their need. You tell them about that. Tell them how I met your need. I had it figured out one time. Is how much manna it would have took. How many boxcar loads I don't remember what it was, but it was a heap of them, to feed them every day. But every morning, they were able to get it. Tell them how God gave them water out of the rock, how God brought them to Jordan. And he said, I want you to pile up these stones for a memorial so that you can tell your children the greatness. Let me tell you about our memorial. Our memorial is found in the pages of the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is counted profitable. And I'm telling you, that's why the Bible teaches us in Deuteronomy, we're to teach our children the Word of God. We're to put it on the forehead. I appreciate the fact of our clubs on Wednesday night having our kids memorize Scripture. And I believe it's the parents' responsibility to see that their kids memorize that Scripture. Because I'm telling you, you can never take away what they put in their heart. And friend, it's important today to hide God's Word in your heart. And I thank the Lord every time I hear these children around here quoting their Bible verses. I like to see them come in on Wednesday night excited about quoting their Bible verse. Of course, they get a sucker out of the deal, but still, they're still excited about learning their verse. Everything God's ever done and everything God will ever do is worth remembering. Talking about if he isn't worth remembering, then God didn't do much, but I'm telling you, God's worth remembering because his marvelous grace brought me from death unto life and gave me eternal life. Some men love to hunt and fish. They spend all their life talking about doing nothing except that. But then they should not be shocked when their sons are completely possessed with a desire to fish and nothing else. And understand, I'm not against hunting and fishing. I'm not. Listen to what I'm saying. When their sons are completely possessed with a desire to fish and nothing else. See, don't forget God. It's okay to fish, but don't forget God. It's all right. It's okay to hunt, but don't forget God. You talk about the time about you want to talk about all the time about what you want to buy next. You should not be, when your daughters grow up and have an unsatiable desire to shop. Listen, we need to understand today, you know, God's blessed us with material things. But it's God that's important. God told his people that when the children ask, what mean ye by these stones? You tell them that God brought us out of slavery unto life. Tell the children how sin almost wrecked your life. Tell them how miserable sin made you. The curiosity of a child. I'm not proud of my past. I rebelled against God. And truly today, as I say, I don't deserve anything. But I sure am glad that I serve a forgiving God that loved me and gave me another chance. Then quickly, not only curiosity of a child, but the caring of a child. We have a generation of parents who are concerned about leaving the wrong things to their children. Some parents, in their concern, are wanting to provide for their children, but have literally destroyed them. And I'm going to tell you this, I'm going to confess to you right now that I'm guilty, and we probably all. But I tell you, in the later generations, things have gotten a little better. My daddy he quit school in the eighth grade to help farm the farm. Didn't have nothing, but he gave us what we needed. Fortunately, I've lived in a generation. It's been a little better to me than it was to my dad. Although I can't say that because my dad was happy. He didn't know anything different. And I've had a little bit more money and the ability. And so if we're not careful, we'll sometimes give our children and our grandchildren anything they want. But are we helping them? Are we hurting them? Or do they need to understand, listen, kids don't have to wear name brand clothes. They don't have to have any type of expensive shoe. And, you know, and you say, well, if I can do it, I want to do it. And that's okay. And again, I'm not harping on that because I'm guilty as anybody. But I'm saying, let's be sure that we give the proper emphasis to God. That they understand that it's God that has allowed us to be able to do those things. And truly today, I can say, I would not have been able to give my children and my grandchildren what I've given to them had it not been for the blessings of God. There's concern about leaving them money when we die, and I think it's wonderful if you can leave them money when they die, but it's like my mother and daddy, when they left, they didn't leave a whole lot. But you know what? I didn't care if they left anything to me, because they'd worked hard all their life for what they had. All these parents many times care about is they want their children to be accepted by their peers. They want them to be popular. They want them to be successful. And there's nothing wrong with those things, unless it goes to the extent of beauty pageants where moms plot to kill another mother because her kid won a beauty contest, or a cheerleader. And you say, where are you getting that? I'm getting it out of the news. It happens all the time because people are so consumed with their child being what they want them to be. God help us today to want our children to be what God wants them to be. And if we'll do that, God will help us as we remember God for what He's done. We have raised a generation of people today, I'm afraid, who do not know what is right from what is wrong. We've given them everything the world has to offer. We've produced a generation who is ungrateful and lack a Christian character. And I'm not painting that with a broad brush. Thank God there are exceptions. And some of them have come through this church, for which we're grateful. But we have forgotten, all of us, to provide that strong character in our lives that they may see and remember the glory of the Lord in what He's done. Our Father, we thank You, Lord, today for the opportunity and the privilege we have to come together. Lord, I thank You for the blessings that You've bestowed upon us. And Lord, today we want to memorialize You. We want to remember You. We want to remember, Lord, the fact of Your name, I Am. Lord, we want to remember Your works and what You've done in our lives. Father, today I pray that You would guide and direct, have Your will and way. Pray that You'd speak to our hearts. Bless now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.